Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And that's it for today. There's no third wheel. This is just the classic Chris and Steve mess around show.
It's a classic Chris and Steve mess around. You guys ready for this?
Chris and Steve. I don't think we've ever done any content with just the two of us.
I think you're right. I think this is
the only time Andy wasn't there, we had a guest for Black Widow.
He's usually the meat in this sandwich of ours, and now we're just two pieces of bread slapping against each other.
Just, are we white bread? We're all classic butternut, I would think. No, I think I'm more of a pumpernickel.
Oh, I'm definitely like the whitest bread there is.
You're sourdough.
Don't do me like that, boy.
Don't do me like that.
I'm a sourdough.
It's actually a bit ironic that Andy's not here, because today on this episode, this is another little special episode because we've got extra time due to the holidays and quarantine and whatnot. We're going to be discussing the first two episodes of the new Disney Plus series, Hawkeye. Andy would be upset to hear that it's Disney Plus. And the last time Andy wasn't here was when we discussed Black Widow, which is pretty relevant, a little bit related to Hawkeye in many ways, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Black Widow is very much Hawkeye's BFF. So,
And then the stinger at the end of Black Widow had some direct connections to Hawkeye, the show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Annie Hoosel, isn't that ironic? But Andy was going to join us today, but he was balancing in between all kinds of familial responsibilities for the Thanksgiving holiday. And of course, he threw out his back in the middle of all that. So that kind of cut out what little time he had blocked out for Hawkeye.
Yeah.
This evening.
So he's on his way to the chiropractor. We hope he feels better.
He's an elderly man, if you didn't know this about Andy. we're the same age, but you ever heard of an old soul? Andy's soul is in his early 30s as well, but his spine is in his late 70s.
He's an old spine, is what we're saying.
Just an old spine.
His spine is just actually just a stack of dimes that they put in a person.
one haphazardly placed penny.
Those are pennies.
Three pence. That's why he named his dog Penny. Okay, we're getting too deep.
Yeah, we have a lot of time this week, so there's going to be a lot of special episodes. As you guys know, Chris is in quarantine for COVID reasons, and I am also in quarantine for COVID reasons. I don't have COVID as of yet, but I was exposed to it very closely to a coworker.
Are you going
to
do a full 10 day?
Not yet. I'm going to be testing over the next couple of days, just because like I was exposed yesterday to it. So I've already been barred, rightfully so, from my family Thanksgiving. So I'm just going to be, you know, I have the next 5 days off work. So I'm just going to be chilling out in the apartment with the dogs and getting regular tests to make sure I don't get a positive. But if I do end up positive, then yeah, it'll turn into a 10-day.
That'll be negative if you get a positive test.
It would be.
You should have renamed it. It's not positive at all. Is your family going to drop you off a plate?
No.
Nobody's bringing,
it's actually
bringing
funny.
Yams to your doorstep.
I was talking to my mom about it because my family doesn't really do the stereotypical like Thanksgiving feast. It's usually like, here's a meat tray. So
like a cold cut, like a,
yeah. Yeah, that is the May holiday tradition.
Like a like a Super Bowl, like we're talking, yeah, pepperoni and cheese.
There's usually a ham in there. like sliced honeyed ham.
Oh, like a hot spiral ham. Well, that's an option.
No, it's not hot. It is a deli cut ham.
that's terrible. You're missing nothing.
My in-laws are potentially dropping stuff, or my former in-laws are potentially dropping stuff off because they feel bad. But also, I was talking to my mom about it because I messaged them and, you know, told her like the whole situation with, you know, my exposure. And I was like, I don't want to come over if you're not comfortable with me coming over. And she's like, I talked to your sister and we agree it's probably best if you don't come. And I'm like, okay, I totally understand that. And my mom's like, but you can order out Bob Evans.
No, can I?
I'm like, oh, okay.
I thought it was some public restaurants you could spend your own money at, yeah, as a solution. Oh, wasn't aware.
But to be honest, I was looking it up today. Like, oh, I think I might actually take that plunge because that actually does sound really good.
So Bob Evans is open on Thanksgiving.
And, well, I think I'm going to order it today and then hold on to it for tomorrow and reheat it tomorrow.
Toss it in the microwave.
Yeah. Like the sad sack of shit I am.
Yeah.
I'm so alone.
I'll be right here with you, buddy. Like I said, I'm not alone here, so it's not the same situation, but the way we've been getting along, it's almost worse.
Oh no.
So but I'm on like day 8. So
you're almost there. The finish line's in sight.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But anywho, so we woke up this morning to a nice Christmas miracle. Episodes 1 and 2 of the new season of Hawkeye on Disney Plus were available to watch, and I immediately binge them both. I don't think it's a binge if it's only 2. That's just that's barely a feature film.
Yeah.
But you know,
it's like a combined 90 minutes if you watch them back to back.
I'm going to be melodramatic and call it binge. And I was exhausted afterward. So Steve, what did you think of the first whiff that you got a Hawkeye?
Well, I opened up the crock pot that is Disney Plus, and I took a nice little wafting whiff into my nostrils. Like, is this ready yet? How is the stew? And to be very honest, you know, and quite blunt, the trailers for the show dropped a month or two ago, and the trailers did not get me hyped at all. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, this will be just a throwaway Disney Plus TV show, whatever. But I'm excited to say that the first 2 episodes were really good. Were a lot of fun. I mean, it takes place during the holidays. I think 5 days before Christmas is when this picks up, 5 or 6 days beforehand. And I really like the setting. I know when we were talking back and forth via text before this, you had mentioned it's very Shane Black feeling, like early Shane Black films, like I've always have to be around Christmas time. And I definitely get that feeling. There's something about the way this is shot that I don't know, something about it feels different than the other Marvel MCU shows that they've had. It's not a WandaVision. It's not even a Captain America or a Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is probably the most, I mean, it's the most grounded compared to the other ones is Falcon and Winter Soldier. But like, I don't know, like Hawkeye has always been a character that I've enjoyed. He has this nice quiet cynicism to him. He's also like dumb enough where you can kind of poke fun at him, but the character is also very aware of how ridiculous he is and how he should not be in the position that he's in. So that's where a lot of the fun comes from watching Jeremy Renner. And then Kate Bishop, what's the actress's name? I don't have it in front of me.
Ellie Steinfeld.
She's awesome. I know nothing about this character from the comics, so I'm really excited to see where this goes, because this show is definitely more about her than Hawkeye per se. And And not to get too super deep into things, but that's one of the most fun things about these new crop of Marvel properties that are coming up is I just don't know where the overall stories are going. Cause I feel like for the past 10 years, you know, they're introducing superheroes that are well known. You kind of have an idea of who they are. All the properties were kind of coming together towards the Infinity Saga. So we all had an idea of where everything was going. And, I don't know where this is going, and that's why this is great.
Yeah, I think phase four has been the most, I don't want to say haphazard, but it's been a little all over the place, and that's not their fault. Obviously, a small upheaval occurred in the world in the middle of that called COVID-19. So I think we're supposed to have gotten maybe not the newest Thor, Love and Thunder, I think so though by now, but certainly Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I think a huge part of this phase hinges around the Doctor Strange film. And so it's interesting to think if you start to plot the course of where we would or are supposed to have been by now, the things that we would know and the different context clues that we would have for what's going on. So not their fault, but I can definitely feel the pain of being affected by the pandemic, as with everything else.
But what did you think about the show overall thoughts?
Like you mentioned, I've been calling it from the trailers that it had Shane Black vibes, and I had forgotten that he directed Iron Man 3. So he's actually attempted to give this universe his own vibes before, but
Iron Man 3 does take place around Christmas time too. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, he always does it, but I'm a huge fan of The Nice Guys and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and most of his work in general. I'm Predator. A huge fan of Haley Steinfeld. What was that movie with Woody Harrelson? About 17, Edge of 17. I loved that movie. I think she's got a really, really awesome comedic presence. I was concerned about her abilities in the action department, but so far, so good. I'm buying it. She's a ninja. Sure, she can fence. She's got gymnastic skills. Sure. So it's really plausible that she's a capable fighter. But I absolutely loved it. I'm surprised at how much I loved the buddy cop banter of her and Jeremy Renner. But it's balancing really well. I've always been a huge fan of Vera Farmiga. Not a big fan of her character in this, but it's her. She's always a wonderful presence on screen. Mm-hmm. Has Linda Cardellini always been Clint Barton's wife?
Yeah. Yeah, she was in Age of Ultron.
I know that.
She has my favorite line of all time in those movies.
Which is
in Age of Ultron when she walks up to Hawkeye when they're like taking refuge in their ranch or whatever where they live, and she's like, "Now, honey, you know I support your avenging." Such a dumb fucking thing. I love it.
Are you going out? Are you out avenging? Can you pick me up some milk on the way home?
You know I support.
How long are you going to be avenging? Because we're thirsty.
Oh, my husband. Oh, he's out avenging.
Yeah, he's an avenger. One could say. I guess I've never noticed it was Linda Cardellini. That's really,
you know, it took me maybe 20 minutes into the first episode before I realized that Vera Farmiga was Eleanor Bishop. Something about like the hair dye, and I think the costume they had or the outfit they had her in the opening scene. Like, I just did not recognize her at all. And then when she was in that like red dress halfway through the episode, I'm like, is that Vera Farmiga?
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah, the black hair is kind of weird, but they had to do that for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and I was like you, I love Vera Farmiga, and so I was a little bit put off. Like, why did they give Vera Farmiga this role? You could give anyone this role. Vera Farmiga deserves to be a superhero.
it seems to be, I don't want to say beneath her, but they're not utilizing her talents, at least yet.
Yeah, maybe later it'll come to play.
The plot is thickening. But yeah, I overall, I loved it. I'm super excited to see episode 3. And I think it'll be my favorite of the Disney Plus series, followed closely second by Loki. And then third, because of the atrocious finale, WandaVision, and then just a ridiculously as far back as you can put distant fourth, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Which I would not have finished if I had had the choice. Any hoozle. Yeah, absolutely loved it. I adore what's going on here. I was entertained the whole way through, even though some of the plot lines are predictable. But I don't even care. It's one of those situations where you're just like, hey, I get it. I see where it's, unless they might surprise me though. Maybe it's not predictable. Who knows? I do want to say before we get to spoilers, did you notice the actor? He plays Armand the third of seven. He's the uncle of uncle. her stepdad, who will soon be her stepdad. He is, I think, the guy. I'm 99% sure he's the guy from Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. That's like the, you know, he always says like the horse riding boots and the crop and.
I know you're talking about.
He's like the main villain douchebag of that arena. And I haven't seen him since. And he might be like a famous actor and I'm just being an idiot. But I was like, that's the guy from fucking Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
I'm trying to find Armand on the IMDb, but I can't find him.
I couldn't find him either. I tried to have an intellectual discussion about this, but I'm just going full honest with the guy from Ace Ventura.
This is so funny. Like Armand the seventh, the little boy is on here, but that guy isn't. On the cast list on IMDb. This is nuts.
Yeah, and Armand the Seventh hasn't even been on screen yet, I don't think. They just discussed it. Well, I guess with that note, let's move right into spoilers for episodes 1 and 2 for Hawkeye right now.
You are entering spoiler territory.
You're bullshit.
Episode 1 is called Never Meet Your Heroes, for obvious reasons. And episode 2 is titled Hide and Seek. So episode 1, the basic plot, as I can recall, we get introduced to Kate Bishop immediately. And I've heard some criticism online like, oh, they should have called the show Kate Bishop. This is bullshit. And it's like, first off, none of us were going to tune in if this was well and truly a show just about Hawkeye. Let's be honest. And secondly, she's doing such a damn good job. Who cares? Even if you were tuning in for that for some godforsaken reason. So introduces to a young 5-year-old Kate Bishop and her father. She's a extremely wealthy family. She's a member of an extremely wealthy family. And I love, as I get older, I realize how rich people have to be to own houses like this, like in my 30s, you know, in New York City.
They have a 3-story tall penthouse in downtown New York City with like spiral staircases and everything. It's like these people are loaded.
Yeah, they've got triple digit millions, right?
Yeah,
at least. So she's a 3-piece wealthy family. Her dad's really cool. And, you know, they're just going to take him away because they made him such a good dad early on. And I love that they tied this in. Again, I'm like you. I don't know much about Kate Bishop from the comics. I can imagine her origin story is not this. But I love that they steeped her origin and background into phase one MCU. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really clever and cool and, you know, good work. They've used the first Avengers movie, Alien Invasion, as the origin of probably too many characters by now. But it's nice to keep referencing that as the linchpin of the beginning of all of this, because it is. So
I like this scene for a couple different reasons. It's always cool to kind of see like what an event like that would appear from the perspective of a normal person. You know, these people are rich, but still like they're normal people that are just seeing the city like destroyed, right, you know,
superheroes.
And it's the little Kate Bishop is running around. And I do have to say that one shot of her running around the apartment while it's slowly chaos is ensuing. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but this is maybe the worst child actor I've seen in a long time. Like, she's like, where are you, mom? Oh, well, mom. And like, it's just the way, like, and then they start throwing in
the alien.
Yeah. They start throwing in the CGI dust. Like this, the apartment is being destroyed because it got dustier. Like, okay, come on. The one shot is not good, but it leads up to her going to like a hole in the living room and she's looking out the hole. She sees Stark Tower and she sees Hawkeye do like the one cool thing that he did in Avengers where he leaps off the building, shoots a grappling hook arrow and swings across. And the one cool thing about the scene is like they made that part of it look way cooler than it does in the original movie, because in the original movie, it's a lot of tights of Jeremy Renner. So you don't really get to see the scale that he's moving around in. But in this, it's a wide shot where you see him. He literally like falls 10 or 12 stories and swings. And it just is a much more heroic looking shot where it's like, oh, that's way more impressive than what it looked like in the Avengers movie. So that was a cool kind of little detail that they threw in there.
And he saved her life because that alien was headed right for her, and he shot the explosive arrow into it at the left, into its little like Green Goblin glider. So it's a cool connecting the two characters, you know, unbeknownst to the two of them early on. And that's what, you know, she wants a bow and arrow. So Hawkeye is her hero. She's the only kid on Earth.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Or Hawkeye is her hero, right?
Apparently not. There's like 6 or 7 people that show up throughout the next couple episodes. Like, dude, you're my favorite Avenger. And it's like, are you? Are you lying?
Sort of lying. I love that the show kind of flirts with the idea of breaking the fourth wall and calls attention to the fact that we all know he's one of the lamer heroes.
Yeah, he doesn't really belong there.
I think that that's really smart and really cool. And they use that to great effect. It works for me. Like there's a scene, I think in the second episode, where he's walking around New York City and he finds some cosplayers in Times Square of the Avengers. And he's just kind of uncomfortable. And she's like, picks up the wrong vibe. And she's like, oh no, look, that's you. But he's like, that's Katniss Everdeen. And like she starts to tell him how he has branding issues. And it's a cool scene. I got a big chuckle out of it.
I think you're on the right track because they are doing something really cool where I think they're kind of leaning towards, because she talks about rebranding in that scene and he's like, what do I have to offer? I'm not. And he lists like a couple of different other superpowers that the other characters have. He's like, I'm not the guy in the suit. I'm not this. And she's like, yeah, but you inspire hope because you're normal, that type of thing. Like anybody in the world can be Hawkeye, because Hawkeye literally is just a normal dude that just trained a lot. Anyone with a Dick's Sporting Good Rewards member card can be Hawkeye.
There's like another cool scene where, speaking of Dick's Sporting Goods, where he's like, we need some guys. And I love the whole story through her eyes where she's just excited to be with an Avenger idea. And she's like, ooh, like Avenger supplies. And they end up at Walgreens getting Band-Aids and shit. And she's like, I'm not going to lie, super disappointed right now, you know? He's like, sorry, kid. So the whole plot, moving on, Kate Bishop is born. She's a Hawkeye fan, right? Hawkeye stan. And she grows up training her whole life in gymnastics and fencing and karate. I believe that's how it's pronounced. She's two-time fencing champion, wins another gold medal in martial arts. So they're just giving you a good sense that she's trained hard, like Batman style, essentially. Rich orphan who's been training hard her whole life. And she works for her mother's security company. So there's a lot of Batman vibes, actually, where she might have access to certain things that come into play later on. Long story short, her mom's getting remarried to some even more rich or douchey guy, played by Tony Dalton. No relation to Timothy Dalton that I can tell, even though the looks are a little bit there. And
I kept thinking this guy was I kept thinking this guy was a much better groomed Paul F. Tompkins. It was freaking me out every time. Like,
so basically the plot picks up when she, out of mistrust for her new stepdad, right? Cause they're getting married soon. She kind of follows him in. And when she also overhears Armand the Third threaten her mother. So her mother's involved in this in some way that we'll find out soon. So she's on the case. She's a little suspicious and, follows them down to a secret uber rich auction at this gala event. And, some like, Avenger villain things are being auctioned off. One of which is Ronan's sword and Ronan's outfit. And that's broken into by some stereotypical Russians in tracksuits. And so she picks up the Ronan outfit to hide herself because she wants to intervene, but knows better than to show her own face because she's wily. And I just love this whole conceit, like Hawkeye's in the city having Christmas with his kids. He's trying to live his life for the first time, presumably recently returned from his outing as Ronan. And so she puts on the suit. He sees the suit on the news and feels personally compelled to intervene because that's his old suit and all his old enemies are going to be coming after whoever this is. So I love that thread of connection there. And that's where things take off for this show. So there's a lot of cool plot threads. We don't know her mother's involvement. I can assume at least they're trying to paint it out that her new stepdad is the one who killed his uncle Armand III. And he's got some obvious villain tendencies going on. That's the predictable plot that I alluded to earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think about all this and where it's going?
I like where it's going. Like you said, I do like the connectivity. I'm really interested in Hawkeye's story in this because, as you know, if you had seen the other movies, you know, his entire family was snapped out of existence by Thanos. So just this idea of him trying to like, oh, my family's back. I don't have to be the Ronin anymore, which was this character where he was like killing criminals that were spared from the snap and just out of anger that he lost his family. So it's this guy who's just trying desperately to like make the most of the time he has. And I really like what they do in the show to kind of put Hawkeye in the world presently. Like the first time we really see them is he and his kids are going to the Broadway musical Rogers, which is just a musical interpretation of assumingly Captain America's story, but the part of the musical we see is the Battle of New York from 2012. And it's got a catchy little song, you know, I can do this all day. And
I love the Hamilton allusion there.
Yes.
I think they were going with
they like completely rip off the Hamilton poster, but like just put Steve Rogers and the shield on
Rogers.
and you can see that like he's deeply affected by how they're kind of interpreting the fame of the Avengers for this, you know, entertainment, because he's watching the play. They have Black Widow in the play and he's watching her and he still feels the loss of his best friend. They add Ant-Man in to the cast of people who are fighting.
He's like, he wasn't even there.
He wasn't there. but then we also find out that Hawkeye's deaf in one ear. Like he has a hearing aid from all the explosions that he's been a part of. And so he, I guess, turns the hearing aid off so he can't actually hear the musical. but like eventually it causes him to leave. And it's a man who's struggling with his fame and, just wanting to kind of leave that behind and focus on the family that he lost. And I really love where that's going, but it's all thrown asunder because of this, you know, like you said, this need to kind of protect whoever has found his old Ronin suit and is now getting the attention from his past enemies. He's still that protector on the inside, you know?
There might be an element of Chekhov's hearing aid to his hearing loss, because there's an interesting thread that I picked up on, because he's deaf in one ear, like pretty significantly, because he's able to not hear things by turning it off. And he tells Kate Bishop at one point that she's going to have to stay on that side so he can actually hear her talking, even though he doesn't actually want to hear her talking, which is a comedic moment, but it was also to remind you that he does have that significant hearing loss. And then the villain that's revealed to be the head of the mafia at the end of episode two is, I think, a supervillain named Echo, who is a deaf supervillain, I believe. I don't know much about her other than what I've read. And hence Echo location, right? So then he was teaching his youngest son, ASL as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where all this is going, but it seems to have some connectivity there.
Oh, absolutely.
So we'll put a pin in that.
Put an arrow in it.
Yeah, ooh.
Yeah.
The stepdad, we should mention, grabbed the Ronin sword. We haven't seen that come back into play yet, other than I assume it's what killed Armand III. I don't know. I'm interested in what's going on. I like the low stakes, you know, Daredevil versus Kingpin. Those are all my favorite Marvel stories, if I'm being honest. So I like the small stakes. I'm really excited for Kate Bishop. Super, super excited for Yelena to join the show at some point, as I assume she will, from the stinger in Black Widow. So I can't wait for Florence Pugh to show up. What are your predictions for where the show's going? Where do you think it'll end up?
I have a bold prediction that this is my bold prediction. I don't know anything about these comic book characters or anything really. So my bold prediction is that Vera Farmiga is the ultimate villain in the show. Like she's the she's the real big bad. I think they're painting Tony Dalton's character to be the villain, and it's almost like too on the nose. Like they're like, this guy's bad. We can't trust this guy.
Right.
I feel like that's a big red herring. And I just think like she's going to end up being the villain for, I don't know exactly what their end game is. Maybe it's more of a, like, we have to prove people that they need better defense so that they will, you know, buy our defense, you know, the business of, you know, she has some sort of defense
or security,
security business. Yeah. It's some way to kind of get people to buy more into her industry. I don't know. That's my big bold prediction. What about you?
I think that that's fair. Like it's either elementary, I don't know what the word is, right? It's a childishly obvious that Tony Dalton's character is the villain. Yeah, your dog agrees.
Ellie's like, yeah, fuck that guy.
But even if it is, and that's not a red herring, I'm okay with that. Like, he's this cartoonishly villainous person. I love Hailee Steinfeld and what she's doing with this so much that it doesn't bother me. But I agree that her mother has some involvement. And I agree with you. I think that's the way that they're going. The way that Armand III, and I hate that I keep calling Armand III, but they made a big point of it. Like, was yelling at her and was threatening her. I think he's not a great guy, but just a very simple man with simple motives, and that she was actually in the wrong for whatever's behind that, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible that Hawkeye might not survive this show.
Yeah, that is possible. That would be really sad. What a bummer. Like there's so many like Christmas motifs going on with the show. So you would kind of hope that the show would end with him being able to celebrate Christmas with his family. And that would be such a kick in the dick. It was like, no, dad died.
You're right.
No dad for Christmas this year, kids.
Because the whole shtick is that they've got 5 days until Christmas and he promised Lila. I don't know. I just feel like he's been playing this character for a long time. Jeremy Renner's got to be done with it. And Kate Bishop's a good opportunity to hand off the human with the bow and arrow that joins the crew, right? So I don't know. I think it would be interesting if Yelena's character showed up and like successfully assassinated Hawkeye in this like the tragic misunderstanding kind of way. But I don't think they're going to do that. I just think that would be interesting. That'd be like the Scorsese way. Scorsese were.
And then they would play a Rolling Stones song. Direct superhero.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, no matter what happens, I'm going to be along for the ride. I really, my hottest take prediction is that this is going to be the cream of the crop of the Disney Plus 2021 superhero series. But without contest, I mean, just far and away above the second slot, even.
That is a bold prediction. I mean, this show is going to have to do a lot of legwork to put it above Loki for me, because I was a really big fan of Loki. But I think it definitely has the opportunity. Like I said, these first two episodes are a pretty strong start, and I'm excited to see exactly where this goes in the future. But I do have some fun little Easter eggs pulled up that we can go over.
Yeah.
That were in this episode. Drops.
I mean, it's not related to Christmas, but whatever. How about some ornaments? We'll call them ornaments.
Yeah, some ornament eggs, red notice eggs. this is the advent calendar of,
yes,
we're gonna open up today's advent calendar and see what surprises we have therein. So, you know, the tower in the opening of the first episode, I guess it's some sort of dare where Kate has to like shoot an arrow and I guess hit this bell and ring the bell, and her friends are like, do it. And she ends up accidentally destroying the bell tower. Apparently that tower, there's a plaque on the base of it, and it's called the Stain Tower. It is named after, in memory of Obadiah Stain.
Obadiah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cause if you have to be reminded, Obadiah Stain is a bad guy, but his misdeeds are confidential and the public at large do not know that he was a bad guy. And I
thought, Tony Stark built this in a cave with scraps.
With scraps. what did you think about?
Says if you look closely.
Oh my God, that'd be so great. People are just like, he built what with scraps?
He built this tower?
Yeah, that's impressive. He built this tower in a cave? There's a cave under here? Whoa. What did you think about the highly memed graffiti? Well, memed in the real world that they put into the movie via graffiti on a urinal.
Thanos was right.
Thanos was right. What did you think about that?
I love it. I love it because, I mean, it's acknowledging the fact that Thanos has a somewhat legitimate argument, right? Than what all the best villains do. And there would certainly be a huge number of radical crazies that identify with Thanos on the actual Earth, right? QAnon would be aflame with theories about how Thanos is alive and well somewhere. And, you know.
Also, so in the second episode, they take refuge in Kate Bishop's aunt's apartment. Like, oh, my aunt's gone. Apparently her
Moira.
Aunt, Moira, yeah. Moira Brandon is a actual character in the comics. She is a movie star. And if you look in the background, there is a poster of one of the movies she's in, Creatures of the Dark Galaxy. In the comics, I guess they use her aunt's house as like the West Coast Avengers compound or whatever. That's like where they hang out, is at this woman's mansion. But yeah, there's a bunch of different stuff in the movie. Oh, the last thing I wanted to bring up, towards the end of the episode, Hawkeye decides to kind of give himself up to the Tracksuit Mafia, which, by the way, great name for a mafia.
Little on the nose, as she says.
But he says, like, he's going to do, he's talking to his wife and he's like, I'm going to do a bait and switch. And she says, oh, that's one of Nat's old favorite moves. And in fact, it is the exact move that we see Black Widow use in the very beginning of the first Avengers, where she's gotten herself captured by whatever mafia that is. And she just lets herself free and beats them all up. And so that was a nice little homage to that character and that relationship. It's a nice Easter egg, but also it kind of further establishes their bond as, you know, people who work together for so long.
Yeah, it was really well done. And I love that Kate ruins it. But yeah. You know, her intentions are good. She thought he was really in trouble. Super funny stuff. Very excited to see what they do next for this show. If you guys like us to cover this, Steve and I could probably be persuaded to continue our coverage. Just, well, number one, listen to it, right? Rate and review us on iTunes. Send us an email. Hey, I love the Hawkeye coverage. We'd like that to continue. You can email us at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can find a lot more stuff like this on our Patreon feed. You can become a subscriber at patreon.com/streamingthings. We're going to be recapping The Witcher season one in anticipation of season two on there. And we'll be watching Spider-Man 1 and 2, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, in anticipation of Spider-Man No Way Home, which drops on the same day as The Witcher season two. That's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be a busy couple months, my friend.
I'm very excited. Very excited. I think that's all we need to say, right? So that about sums it up.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you so much. My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
Yeah, and happy Thanksgiving. Happy streaming.
Happy streaming. And happy Thanksgiving.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.